Welcome in to another episode of Inside Boxing Live. The usual suspects are here. I'm Dan Canova. He is the former world champion, Mr. Chris Algieri. And Chris, we have a big announcement before we get into our topics today. We're throwing a fight night pregame party, baby. Let's go. New York City, June 10th, before the Taylor Teofimo fight from 4 to 7. We're going to be at Jack Doyle's restaurant and bar, hanging out with the fans. People have called for this, so we delivered. The first 50 tickets get a free drink. We're going to be doing games, trivia, giveaways, and then we'll all walk over to MSG and watch a really good fight in the 140-pound division. We're going to have a link to the event on YouTube, and we're going to be blasted out on social media. Chris, are you ready to meet the IBL faithful?
I'm psyched, man. We've had a really good run past couple months, and we've got a lot of good feedback from people. And like I said, people have been asking for this, so it's also a good way to catch up with all my New York homies, as I don't get to hang out in New York too much these days.
Yes, there will be a Chris Algieri kissing booth, so everyone bring your lip gloss and show up June 10th.
And you're probably going to get a rug burn from this mustache.
You are looking porn starish. I love it.
Getting that. Everybody keeps saying that over here at Pro Box. Like, ooh, what's with the porn stash? I'm like, I don't know.
I like it. It works. Yeah. So June 10th over at Jack Doyle's Restaurant and Bar, 4 to 7 p.m. We're going to have a good time before the Taylor Teofimo fight. We'll have a lot more information in the next couple days and when you see this. So let's get into it, Chris. Spence Crawford obviously has been announced, and it's been confirmed by both guys now. Spence and Crawford posted it, so that is it. This fight is happening on July 29th, and I'm starting to think, like, as boxing fans, we're not used to this. We're not used to getting a Haney, Lomachenko, a Tank, Ryan, a Benavidez, Plant, and now Spence Crawford. Like, we can start dreaming big. Like, we can start thinking bigger. Like, what are some of these other fights? Like, it's almost got to the point where Spence Crawford, all right, give me more. I want more. So what are some of the biggest fights that are still left to be made in boxing outside of Spence Crawford?
Well, one that's already been made, we've got Inoue and Fulton, which is a massive, massive fight, which goes right in line with all those guys that you just mentioned, all those fights that you just mentioned. But coming up at that, I mean, we got to look at the heavyweights. Even though the heavyweights have been a barren wasteland this year, other than the Zhang and Joyce fight. But man, I want to see those guys fight. I want to see the Wilder Joshua, which they're talking about happening this year. I want to see Fury and Usyk. I mean, that's the fight that, you know, I think stylistically it's not my favorite fight to be made, but I think it's really important in terms of who is the actual legitimate the guy at heavyweight. There's always the heavyweights, and then kind of recycling some of the guys who already fought. Like, I really want to see Shakur and Loma. I think that fight makes a lot of sense, and that's an awesome fight to see. And then Haney, where's Haney gonna go next? I mean, I'd love to see him with Tank. I think that fight is probably the best of that group of there to be made. That one is probably the least likely to happen, if not this year or ever. But yeah, no, we still have some good prospects for massive fights down the line this year.
Yeah, I think Benavidez and Plant, Plant has said this. He's tweeted at me, and it's like, I'm the one who started this movement. Like, me and David started it off, and now it was like a domino effect. I do agree that there is a domino effect in the sport. Like, Tank Ryan, I think a lot of fighters out there saw the attention they were getting that week and in the lead up for that. And that kind of maybe helped a Spence Crawford get over the finish line. The heavyweights is where it starts. It's crazy that we've had this amazing 6 months in the sport, and their heavyweight title has not been defended. None of them. Usyk has three of them, and Fury has the other one. Fury is now making front-facing Instagram videos again. They trigger me. I don't listen to the words he says. The latest rumor is that he has sent an offer to Joshua for a September fight at Wembley. Eddie Hearn confirmed it. They got the offer sheet, but they maintain that Joshua is focused on an August tune-up fight, maybe against Dillian White, and then a Wilder fight in December in Saudi Arabia. Fury, in a perfect world, because we've had a perfect year almost, Fury needs to fight Usyk. We need to figure out the undisputed champion. Joshua fight Wilder. Like, that makes sense. Like, that right there in the hierarchy of heavyweights. But you're telling me if somehow Joshua jumps the line and gets to fight Fury, because we know that meritocracy doesn't exist in the sport and it's all about money, I'm not going to be upset about it. The main thing is these heavyweights need to start fighting each other, man. 6 months without a heavyweight title being like, what are we doing here? Like, it's got to the point where any of them just step in the ring, fight each other, because this generation, it's starting to wane a little bit, and we're not getting the biggest fights. They happened a few years ago, and then there's been a drought.
Yeah, I mean, when the heavyweight division is healthy, boxing is healthy, but it's a good sign that we're talking about all these big fights, and like you said, we haven't been dealing with the heavyweights. But now imagine we're getting all these good fights in the lighter weight divisions, and then we also have an undisputed heavyweight champion, and the top contenders are fighting each other. That, Dan, is our perfect boxing world, and we're this close, man.
We're crazy, right, man. We can dream it.
You know how bad the end of last year was? We were like distraught the end of last year.
Broken. I'm a broken man. And I made a video. Yeah. I'm a broken man in October. And then like our segments were like, let's talk about having sex before a fight. Should you do it? Should you not? We were like grasping at straws for things to talk about. And that's a big reason I think that we're seeing so much success on socials and interest in the show is because the biggest fights are being made and fans are happy. Some other fights, I would say Canelo Benavidez. I have that I have it number one on my wish list of big fights next. Canelo is probably going to fight Bivol, but you know, the longer that goes without being made, the door's being open for Benavidez to come in there. We talked about that at length. Tank Haney, obviously. We'll talk a little bit about what Haney's next move is. That fight looks like it's probably not going to happen at 135. Who knows? Maybe Tank at 140 one day. Then there's Beterbiev Bivol. We're seeing undisputed almost every division, at least unification fights in every division. Beterbiev and Bivol have been champs for close to 5 years now, respectively, in their division, and they haven't even gotten close to negotiation or close to the finish line. You know, so I think the clock's ticking on those two guys. I mean, there's a lot of ridiculous.
Beterbiev has to get past Callum Smith.
That's another thing too. It's like
that's no easy task. And, right. And honestly, I mean, if Callum beats Beterbiev, he steps right in line for that fight with Bivol. To me, that fight's just as big. You know, Beterbiev is a monster.
But you really think it's bigger than Beterbiev Bivol?
No, I don't think it's bigger. But like, I think he steps right into that space where it's like, yeah, this is okay. We need a unified champion at light heavyweight. This is the fight to be made. It's two very, very dangerous guys. Yeah, I think it's not quite the same luster because Beterbiev is undefeated and he's the perfect KO ratio, best knockout percentage in the sport of boxing for champions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it loses a little luster, but not much. It's still a great fight.
Yeah, they have a lot to deal with in terms of making this fight now. Like they had this 5-year window to make it. Now they have to deal with the WBC not sanctioning Russian fighters. Now they have to deal with Beterbiev.
So stupid.
Dumb. Now they have to deal with Beterbiev facing mandatories, dangerous mandatories like Callum Smith. But if Callum Smith beats Beterbiev, then of course he deserves. Yeah, he deserves the right to fight Bivol. So that's one of them. And then Ryan versus Rowley that we're going to talk about in just a little bit too. That's on my wish list. So they're
quite a mega fight. But.
Not a mega fight, but still like a fun fight that I think, I mean, I posted something about it and it went off. Like you post those two guys are popular. There's a belt in the mix of it, which is hilarious. So yeah, those are some to wish for. And then of course there's some lower weights. There's like a featherweight unification. We saw featherweights this weekend, whether it's Luis Alberto Lopez versus Lee Wood.
What a stud, by the way. Jeez.
Beast. And Lee Wood, too. So they can get it on. 130 is getting intriguing and heating up. Jermell Charlo, we want Tim Zhu, as long as Charlo, is his hand recovers. So things are looking good. 135 and 140 are carrying the sport, but there are a lot of other huge fights. And 147 now with Benson Crawford getting in there.
And Ortiz and Staniona soon.
That's another two. That's a huge, awesome huge thing is that we're going to see movement now underneath Spence Crawford. Like, let's get Boots Ennis going. The guy has fought three times in like the last 3 years. Virgil Ortiz obviously has health stuff. Staniones is ready and willing. So yeah, things are looking good. There are a lot of big fights that can still be made to make this probably the best year in the history of boxing, which is wild. Topic two, we're moving over to Devin Haney. We have said since his win over Lomachenko that we're gonna see like his movement. We're gonna read the tea leaves on what we think is gonna happen here. Do you agree or disagree? Haney should only stick around 135 for a potential tank fight. If not, move to 140. Probably go to Matchroom, and I think he should fight the winner of Richardson Hitchens versus Montana Love.
I like all of that, but I still think there's an option for him for which is not gonna happen, but a rematch with Loma. I think it would be a good idea. I think with all the backlash that he's gotten over the victory, the disputed victory, and people, you know, calling robbery and whatnot, I think there'd be a lot of intrigue for the fight. I think that it's a very winnable fight. I think he can make it a clear victory this time. But Yeah, I mean, no one on Haney's side is going to want that fight. The guy, we already beat him, we'll move forward. But, you know, Loma's side is they're screaming for the rafters, and there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that think that Loma won that fight. So if he wanted to quiet, you know, the dissenters the way that Floyd Mayweather always did, then that would be a move. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Tank is definitely the most lucrative mm-hmm. and the most enticing for the fans. But I don't see that one fight happening, and not now, and not at 135. And then I just don't see Haney staying at 35. I don't think I think that they are struggling to make 35 and 40 is where they want to go. And honestly, I think he's got an easier route at 140 than he does at 135. The guy's at 35. Loma's not a guarantee. Tank, he probably loses to. Shakur, he probably loses to. You know, so yeah, the young studs and the old war horse that's still there at 35 are very dangerous. Where at 40, I think he can beat a lot of those top guys. Not everybody, but probably most of them.
Yeah. A lot has happened in the last couple of days. Like, the WBC has ruled that Lomachenko is now the mandatory. So, therefore, he leapfrogged Shakur. So, now, Haney, if Haney vacates and goes up, Shakur versus Loma will be for the vacant WBC strap. So, that's kind of cool out of that. I saw a little bit of flirting between Tank's camp and Haney's camp at 135. Coach Calvin Ford, trainer of Geronta Davis, says, we're ready, we're ready. Haney says, well, I haven't heard from Al. I'm waiting for a call. Haney did reach out to Eddie Hearn to make a pro-grade fight. That's what I think the move is. I think the move is 140. He can move up, finally. He can take a fight against a Hitchens versus Love winner, which is still a tough fight, but it's a good introduction to 140, and then get a pro grade next year, figure out what goes on at 140, what happens with Ryan and Rowley in all those names. I can see that being the move. Will he be called a duck because he's not facing Tank at 135? Probably. Is it deserved? Probably not, because you take a look at Haney, 30 fights at lightweight, Chris. 7 defenses of the WBC title. I think he has one of the better resumes at lightweight. And then you take a look at his contemporaries, they're all onto their second or third divisions, like Teofimo Lopez, 140, Ryan Garcia, 140. Tank's obviously smaller. Shakur has moved up from 130. I know he's not a 135 guy, but I mean, this guy's stayed at 135 and he's given you the fights that you want to see in Haney. So, you know, a move to 140, I don't want to hear that he's ducking Tank. He's just doing what he's got to do for his career.
Yeah, agreed. I don't think that there's a duck involved. I mean, he did enough work at 35. He just beat Loma. He's going to go up. And again, 140, it's a whole new division now. He's got another place to root in and fight the top guys. The pro-grade fight makes a lot of sense. I think Hitchenson is going to beat Love. Unless something wild happens and Love catches him, whatever, I think Hitchenson should handle Love relatively easily. But that's not a tough fight for Haney. First entry into 140 fighting a guy like Hitchenson, who's a good jabber, who's long, who's big for the weight too. So it's almost like a mirror match in terms of the way that, you know, that they like to fight. So that's a tough fight. And then the winner goes to program. So I think there's a good stepwise position for these guys to move.
Yeah, Saturday, July 15th on DAZN will be Richardson Hitchens versus Montana Love, a fight that I like. Hitchens,
I'll be there.
Yeah, you'll be there, huh? Are you? And you're also doing the Detroit this weekend.
Doing Detroit this weekend for Clarissa Shields. Then I'm doing New Orleans for the pro grade return.
Wow, busy.
Yeah, so we're busy. We're busy. We're getting a lot of work. I mean, boxing is busy, so are we.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what's going on at 140. It's a 135, 140. Probably the biggest storylines in the sport right now. There is more going on at 140, though. Ryan Garcia and Rolly Romero. Ryan tweeted over the weekend, this one's for you, Barroso. I guess I'll go fight Rolly, which I thought was a hilarious tweet. Rolly was at the Golden Boy event, the Rocha fight. He took a picture with Oscar. I mean, it seemed like, wow, this is really going to happen. You know, things are starting to make sense here. Maybe that deal Ryan made with PBC and Tank fight called for like a second fight after it. Maybe we're seeing this, the ridiculousness that happened with the end of that Barroso fight. It's like, all right, let's stop the fight so we can get Rolly and Ryan. It started to look like this was like a match made in heaven, and this fight was definitely going to happen. Maybe at end of the year, Rolly versus Ryan for the 140 belt. And then the WBA is like, no, 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 no. We need to get our mitts into this. We need our sanctioning fees. O'Hara Davies, you need to fight Rolly Romero next. You have 30 days to make this fight. So now a Ryan Rolly fight seems like it's been put on ice. There are things that you can't even step around it. Like a step around fee, from what I was reading, can't happen because Rolly wasn't the mandatory. He was stepping in because Puelo popped for PEDs. It's just like such a boxing thing now when you really peel this back. So O'Hara Davies, who has only lost, who's only lost to Catterall and Josh Taylor. He's won 7 in a row. Probably going to fight Rolly unless Rolly vacates and then fights Ryan, and then we can just be like, belts don't matter again.
Why wouldn't Catterall get that shot?
Because Catterall is aligned with the WBC, I think.
So, but that's the point. That's why boxing fans look at this and look at boxing as being ridiculous. The rankings are stupid.
Very
because
dumb.
It's not the best guy. Like no. You said, meritocracy is dead.
It's who's paying what. It's who's paying what organization. Essentially, because you take a look at, if you put them all next to each other, WBC rankings, WBO, IBF, there's 30 different names. It's ridiculous. The number one in the WBC is like the number 10 in the IBF.
Well, they're hedging their bet. They're making sure that they're going to get their sanctioning fees from different people. So,
joke.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So, what do you think he's going to do? Rolly can sit out. He could vacate. Or he can fight Davies. What would Chris Algieri do?
If he wants to try and keep that belt and defend it against Davies, which I think he'll probably lose to Davies, I don't think he can beat anybody at 40, honestly, from what we saw from the Barroso fight.
Poor Barroso.
Barroso, yeah. But yeah, he's probably going to wait it out for Ryan and get the money. So that would be the smartest.
How do you wait it out? I mean, you got to vacate then.
Yeah.
He's a 30-day window to make the fight, or you vacate the belt. So the belt that
he's already been world champion. His only chance to make big money is Ryan.
Yeah, I agree.
He's not going to be a long-standing champion. He's going to defend his belt a bunch of times again and unify. He might as well vacate and just go wait for Ryan. Because then he loses the Davies. Then what? He loses his belt anyway.
Yeah.
He's not going to get the Ryan Garcia fight. He's going to be fodder for other champions in the division.
Not gonna make any money either against Davies.
Yeah, he's not gonna He's not making any money against Davies, and he's not gonna make money in the returns either, because he's damaged goods at that point at 140.
Yeah, I mean Ryan has kind of proved like belts really don't really matter to him. He got a tank fight. It was no belt on the line, and it was the biggest fight of the year. I think it's gonna do even bigger business. Like Spence Crawford's not gonna come close.
And the Ryan Romero fight doesn't matter for that fight. They're both lightning rods.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. Everyone's gonna tune in, and it's they're two personalities fighting at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Ryan's actually really good. So it's a personality fight at that at that stage. So it doesn't really matter. I just thought that was a way for Ryan to be world champion, was he would get that fight, but that's been taken away now by the WBA.
We'll see. There was a lot of different options. Rolly has Mayweather Promotions in his corner. They know what they're doing.
Sure do.
And especially in these scenarios, I want to see that fight happen in December or November. Ryan and Rolly, if there's a belt on the line, cool. If there's not, whatever. Like you said, like it won't matter. I think either. Well, Ryan, I think, could maybe put up a better defense of the 140 title than Rolly.
Certainly, way more deserving, Ryan than Rolly. I'd rather see Ryan be a titleist than Rolly.
Definitely. I think Ryan would benefit from one fight at 140 with Derek James. Not saying I would like Garcia would be big favorite over Rolly, but. One fight at 140 with James against the find a guy that's going to stand in front of him will be a good thing. Last topic, we're staying at 140. It's Teofimo Lopez once again putting his foot in his mouth. What is going on with Tio? Says he wants to take Josh Taylor's life. Okay. We've heard this talk from fighters before. Most notably, Deontay Wilder said it. I think it was before the Brazil fight or the Stavern fight, and he got absolutely roasted. Like, it made mainstream news. It became like a negative headline for boxing. What are we doing here? I hate this talk. I think it's unnecessary. I understand, like, it is a kill or be killed type of sport, as Tio said. You know, guys have passed away in the ring or afterwards. I just don't understand why he needs to go there with this type of rhetoric. Rhetoric.
This tactic never works. It's never positive. It's never good. And listen, I know Teofimo lately has been taking a page out of Rolly's book. Maybe he's seeing all the moves that Rolly's is making just by talking his way into positions. But Teo's actually good and has a former undisputed champion, like super super talented. He doesn't need to do this. He doesn't need to be that guy who needs to be brash and talk his way into it, even though he's always been brash. This is just too much. It's above and beyond. Yeah, he says a lot of crazy things. I like a lot of the things he said. I think it's funny, but this is not funny. This is no laughing matter. It's something that's really serious in this sport and something that has plagued the sport for the last couple of years, especially recently. So I'm like you, I hate this talk.
Yeah, he's an entertainer. There are things I like for him. There are things I don't like for him. Saying Top Rank doesn't care about Hispanic fighters. They only promoting black fighters proved to be a silly comment. You know, even Shakur was laughing at that, saying that, you know, I brought Bud Light to Top Rank. Like, it's just a silly comment that, you know, it just shows that his mindset is not in the right place. I'm just trying to figure out how you go from in the ring saying, do I still have it after the Sandor Martin win to I want to kill a man. Like, like those are two different mindsets. It's crazy. But I went and looked at the quotes, like, just to show like how he kind of talks in circles a lot, Teofimo. This is a kill or be killed sport, he said. He told Punch Drunk Boxing. Someone just passed away on May 6th. The kid was 22 years old. Just passed away. That's Kenneth Egano. Then in the next breath says, I want to kill Josh Taylor. After mentioning the kid's name and saying that it's a brutal sport, God bless the kid who passed away. What does that mean? Teofimo says, people tell me, let's get back to boxing. But that is boxing. This is what we signed up for. You're probably going to lose your life. What does that mean? I'm going to die in the ring. I understand. Fighters need that type of mentality going there, but I just think it's not the right words. Like, you don't need that. We're having such a good year. Like, there's always some fighter that unfortunately does pass away, and then you're kind of reminded. It kind of is like a wake-up call for everyone how dangerous this sport is. So don't go ahead and start talking like you want to take someone's life in the ring.
It's one thing to say it's kill or be killed or it's dog eat dog. It's another thing to be like, I'm going to kill a man in the ring and you got a fight coming up. If I'm Josh Taylor, I'm taking that as a verbal assault that, oh, you're trying to kill me. Well, we're literally about to fight. So that's the beautiful thing about boxing. It's like all the trash talk is so funny to me. It's like, you get to punch this guy in the face later. Why do you have to say all this stuff? Yeah. Especially when they fight in the press conference. Like, yeah, I know you're excited, but like, I get to punch you in the face for money later. Like, we don't need to argue anymore.
Yeah.
But I don't know. If I'm Taylor, I would be I'd be pissed about these kind of comments. And I think the world's gonna be pissed at it. So
it's crazy, man.
It's unnecessary. Very unnecessary.
I like Josh Taylor. He kind of grew into a little bit of a pariah himself. Like, he's a very opinionated guy. Number one, many people thought he lost to Catterall and they didn't like the way he handled the afterwards, not giving Catterall the rematch. But I think, this isn't me, but I'm looking at fans' reaction. It's like, I feel like Taylor now is like the fan favorite in this fight because people are just kind of upset with Teofimo's behavior, which is nuts. So in a way, he should be pissed, Josh Taylor, but also be like, hey, thanks, Teofimo, because you're making me look great.
Well, he took the heel position. T.O. is now the heel, and he is falling into that role nicely. And Taylor, who was probably the heel versus like Ramirez, but now has just sat back and is benefiting off of T.O.'s wild outbursts. So he's like, all right, cool. You're gonna take this role. I'll stay here and I'll be the favorite.
Yeah. Actual fight. I'm really looking forward to this fight. We're having our pre-fight party beforehand to get into the ring stuff. Like, a lot of this talk from Teofimo is like kind of like deterring away from the fact that now he's in his third fight in 10 months. Third fight at 140. He fought his last fight, Sandor Martin, Martin, who a lot of fighters would avoid. I thought he won just barely, but he did win. So now he's in a good rhythm. He's at 140. He's grown into the weight. Yeah, he's definitely more active than Josh Taylor. I mean, he hasn't fought in 16 months. So, like, yeah, we're focusing on a lot of the things Teofimo says. But, you know, he's putting together a pretty good resume at 135 and now 140. It's interesting, this fight, because you got a guy coming off a huge layoff in Taylor who's not had greatest performances, and versus a guy in Teofimo who we still don't know exactly what he is, but he's got a little more consistency on his side.
Yeah. In terms of growing into the weight class, I don't see that. I still think he looks really small for 140. I've seen him on you know, his posts on social media and working out, and like, he's just not a 40 pounder. And Taylor's a big 40 pounder. He's going to have to cut, you know, to get there. And yeah, it's an interesting fight. It's a very interesting matchup. Taylor, I was very high on Taylor a couple of years ago. You know, I had to say a couple of years ago because he's been so inactive.
Yeah, 2019, but, right?
Yeah, but he, I mean, he's a hard out for anybody. He's big, he's tall, he's long, he's a southpaw, he's powerful, he's physically strong. You know, he was physically backing up Progre, who's a strong guy at the weight class too. So that size and strength is definitely going to be something that Teofimo is going to have to deal with. But like you said, the fact that he's been so active in recent year, Teal's a rhythm fighter, man. When he finds that rhythm, he is a really dangerous guy. When he gets that head movement going and firing those shots from all those positions, he is, it's a thing of beauty. If he can find that and keep that rhythm and stay a step ahead of Taylor, Taylor's going to have a long night. But if Teo comes into this fight against a Taylor of old, a guy who has looked like he's looked in the past, I don't know. It's really hard for me to see a path of victory if Taylor is firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, there's so many variables in this fight. I can't wait for it. It's June 10th. Beforehand, you're going to want to come over to Jack Doyle's restaurant and bar to hang out with us. You can take a body shot from Chris Algieri. You can meet Ronnie, the super producer. Referee Kevin from the John Boy Media Combine will be there in full uniform.
It's going to be regalia.
I didn't confirm that, but if I asked him, I think he'll do it. That's just the type of guy. He's ride or die. Fight night pregame party. Check our social media and check the link in the description. We're going to have a great night on June 10th, and we're going to go over to MSG and watch an awesome title fight. Great show, Chris. Enjoy your travels. Any last words for the fans?
No, man, just be happy where we're at. Boxing has been in way worse places than it is. We're on a good, we're making a good run, and we still got more than half a year to go. So boxing, alive and well.
Alive and well. Keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves at all times. Go buy tickets to our event. Good night.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.